1. Remain standing for the scriptures, please.
F-35s are flying over for us.
Okay. Junior Church may be dismissed at this time. This morning's scripture will be coming from Matthew's, the 8th verse, the 5th through the 13th. Verses. And in your Bibles that are in the pews will be on page 964. The key verse we will read will be verse 10 after I'm finished. And when Jesus was entering Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should cometh under my roof, but speak the words, that words only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth that. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found a greater faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the same self hour. And could we please read verse 10 together, please? When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Thank you, Father, for the many blessings that you have stored upon us. It seems as if we have gone astray. Since we've forgotten that you are the one and only true living God. Father, we ask you that you give us the understanding and strengthen our minds that we may be able to follow you. Then, Father, as pastor bring the message that you've laid upon his heart today, let us all take it and consume it, that it may nourish our body. For the Lord's sake, amen.
I have read of men of faith who have bravely fought till death, who now the crown of life are wearing. Then the thought comes back to me, can I not a soldier be? Like to those martyrs bold and daring, I'll gird on the armor and rush to the field, determined to conquer and never to yield. So the enemy shall know, wheresoever I may go, that I am fighting for Jehovah. I like like them will take my stand with the sword of God in hand, smiling amid opposing legions. I the victor's crown will gain, and at last go home to reign in heaven's bright and sunny regions. I'll gird on the armor and rush to the field, determined to conquer and never to yield. So the enemy shall know, wheresoever I may go, that I am fighting for Jehovah. I will join at once the fight, leaning on my Savior's might. He is almighty to deliver. From my post I will not shrink, though of death's cup I should drink. Hell to defeat is my endeavor. I'll gird on the armor and rush to the field, determined to conquer and never to yield. So the enemy shall know, wheresoever I may go, that I am fighting for Jehovah. Will you not enlist with me and a valiant soldier be? Vain 'tis to waste your time in slumber. Jesus calls for men of war who will fight and ne'er give o'er, routing the foe in fear and wonder. I'll gird on the armor and rush to the field, determined to conquer and never to yield. So the enemy shall know, wheresoever I may go, that I am fighting for Jehovah. So the enemy shall know, wheresoever I may go, that I am fighting for Jehovah.
Man, isn't that a blessing? I know you appreciated that. I did. I wanted to just say, I've been reading about the sons of Levi my whole life, and here one of the sons of Levi is here today. And so I don't know if you raised him up or not there, but that's Mason. My nephew is Levi, and he has his boy here. I know I recognized him earlier, but I just can't get over him. I can't wait till church is done so I can hold him a little bit more. There he is. That's a Levi. It's a Howell boy there. But appreciate that. How do you talk about the veteran? I'm going to be really short, by the way, because it's already time to stop. But when I'm talking about a veteran, what do you think of when I say the word veteran? A veteran to me was somebody who fought, perhaps, on foreign soil, someone who grew up in my grandpa's day. It was the older person who struggled to march on the 4th of July parade, or spent evenings playing cards at the local VFW. That's what I think of when I think of a veteran, even though I am one, and I'm getting up there in age. But what is a veteran? Title 38 of the Code of Federal Regulations defines a veteran as a person who served in active military, naval, or air service, and who was discharged or released under conditions other than dishonorable. So this definition explains that any individual that completed a service for any branch of the armed forces classifies as a veteran as long as they were not dishonorably discharged. And I think it's Armistice Day, what they used to call it when it first began, 1919, the first anniversary was marking the end of World War I. And we did have a family member in that. Luda Vesperman was my great-grandma. and her husband came home from World War I and was not well at all, had pneumonia, and he'd passed away not too long after that. They had two daughters, Lova and Viola, and Lova used to come to church here and kind of understand a little bit more of it. I wish I could have learned a little bit more about my great-grandpa. Beluda was married to him. She was a Vesperman. But there are 18 million veterans in the United States, according to the most recent statistics in the U.S. Census. 7% of the population are veterans, and more than 9 million veterans are served each year in the Department of the Veterans Affairs. But listen to this. Healthcare facilities have made up about 800 outpatient sites and 152 VA medical centers. But this number has significantly dropped. The caring for, or the facilities that will be able to care for the veteran, is getting less and less. Almost 40,000 veterans are without shelter in the U.S. any given night. The number of vets experiencing homelessness is somewhat down. It's down by about 40% since 2011. So we're doing some more help for them. I appreciate what the VA here was doing in building number 6. They would take a veteran in and they would give him money to be able to buy his groceries, was able to go over there and talk to a lot of vets. And I really appreciated that. But the leading cause of homelessness among vets is the PTSD issue, social isolation, and a lot of times that's because of depression, unemployment, substance abuse, of course, plays into that. That's why there's a lot of sick veterans, is because stress and difficulties that they had when they came back played a part of their health issue. Veterans account for 13% of homeless adults in the U.S. California has the highest number of vets living on the streets. There are some veterans who seemed to be content without being noticed. There are disabled veterans who do need care every day. There are decorated veterans who have had books written about them and movies made because of their bravery. Whenever I hear a good military film or something, you know, I like to watch that. And being a military man, I just enjoy watching it. I think about the Bible, and it comes to the military. Jonathan, King Saul's son, was a soldier, and his bravery was recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 14. I love the story. Verse number 14, and upon climbing up the cliff and getting at the Philistines and his armor bearer with him, and they slew 20 men in a half of an acre. I'm sitting reading that and thinking about this military man, Jonathan. What a great man. And died with the same day his father did, King Saul. Very loyal to his father, even though he was loyal to King David. King David was a veteran, but dealt wisely concerning his past for relying upon God, the God of heaven, to give his heart peace and calm and weary soul. And you can look at the problems that David had and read out of the Psalms that there was some confusion at times and some depression and so on that we draw out of the Psalms that he had written. But some of that was because of his military efforts. So we hear stories of those who have gone beyond to call the call of duty. And most of the time we think of physical military action when we think of the veteran who goes on beyond the call of duty. The reality proves that there is and has been a war going on since the Garden of Eden called the spiritual war. And we cannot help but address that there is going to be veterans of the spiritual war too. I think of Marty Marriott. He was supposed to speak yesterday. He's the president of Maranatha Baptist University. Until recently, he's now the chancellor. Moved into a different position. How many have ever heard Dr. Marriott speak? Raise your hand. So you know who I'm talking about. He has cancer, but his body's taking a real big toll because of stress and difficulties. And like, again, I said during Sunday school class that the more spiritual the task is, the hardest on the flesh. If you do not understand that when you accomplish things for God, there is a lot involved with this, and there is with him. He gave me a call and he said, you know, I just don't know, Dean. I'm going to come and speak at the banquet because it's my responsibility for the banquet every year. And we're putting it all together and he's going to come in and speak. And then he called me and said, Dean, I'll come in and I'll just sit with you for a little bit and I'll speak and then I'll leave right away. And I said, that'd be fine. If you think you can do that, that'd be wonderful. And then 2 days later, he called me back and said, I'm not even going to be able to be there. He's going through some treatments. You know, he's got an artificial eye already because of cancer. It's all over his liver. He's dealing with other issues now with the reaction to the therapy that he's going through. And he just says, I can't make it. I'm just not going to be able to. But I'll have the new president come and speak. And so Dr. David Anderson spoke yesterday. I got to meet him a little more. And I'm telling you this is because I would think that Marty Marriott would be a person that we would say he was a veteran of the spiritual war. He continues to battle, and this war seems to be those that have this biblical worldview and those that have the humanistic worldview are on the other side of things, and it seems like you're either right or you're wrong in our culture today, and it seems like less and less there are people that are willing to battle for what is right and what is good, and they're not willing to hang the banner up anymore. They're kind of folding and saying, I'm just going to go home and play it safe. I think Exodus 32:26 reminds me of the battle when Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. For the Christian, we are reminded of duty throughout the scriptures and what our duty is and what is required of us. And I think this is rung out in Micah chapter 6, verse number 8, where the Bible says, He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly before, or humbly with thy God. And I think Ecclesiastes gives it to us too in chapter 12, verse number 13. I've been reminding you of this verse recently. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And then the New Testament, Romans chapter 13, verse number 13 says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not riding a drunkenness, not in chambering, that's living together before your marriage, not in wantonness, not living in strife and envying one another. All of that should be put aside if you're really in Christ. And remember that all of the difficulties that you've gone through, God has allowed that to happen to help you understand who you really are and what your purpose is. And that this valley of depression and discouragement really can be a valley of decision that I'm going to follow the Lord. That's what it was for me when I got to my worst. I said, yes, Lord, yes, have your will and have your way. And saying all of that, how do we ever go beyond the call of duty if we don't understand and accept it? You know, most of us in this room understand what God has called us to do and your purpose in life. But there is a veteran in the spiritual war here. I want to bring out the veteran of the spiritual war in this particular context was this whole Roman push amongst the Jews. And it's happening in verse number 1. If you look at your Bibles of Matthew chapter 8, I hope you have your Bibles open. But it says, and when Jesus entered into Capernaum, that was his desire to go to. He took a beeline from Nazareth to Capernaum, right along the water, was able to understand a little bit more of what the people needed there. There was a man that came unto him, a centurion. He was beseeching him, and so it was more than just a little request. He was actually crying out to God. This narrative of a soldier, I think, first of all, can be organized by saying the soldier's appeal examined. And this is verse 5 and 6. The appeal comes out. He says in verse number 6, saying unto the Lord, then, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And so there's a problem with his servant, and his servant cannot move his muscles. His muscles are causing him to be tormented. They hurt. You can't get up and move around. I went on a little 5-mile hike the other day up in the woods on the river bottoms and made a beeline to my area that I wanted to hunt in. Finally, I got a little time to get underneath an oak tree and fall asleep. That's what I look at when I go hunt, right? And so I went up this hill. It's all uphill all the whole way, and I'm moving right along, and I spent a long time because of my left leg, and it's all numb and swells up. But I was able to make it up there, and I thought, man, it's great. So I made it down then. When it was getting dark, I started hearing the coyotes, and so I knew it was time to get out of the woods, and we're in public land, and I was heading down. And I thought, man, that's really cool. It's 5 miles back into the woods and 5 miles out. I'm doing really good. until 2 o'clock in the morning from my hip to the tip of my toe. You ever have your calf muscle get hard and you have this, what do they call that, a muscle spasm or something? Yes. My whole leg was like that. And I'm like all crinkled up and I'm thinking, Lord, what's going on? It's like you're in torment, right? Right? Yeah. Because Flo knows what I'm talking about, because she has these dystonia times where they are muscle cramps. And this particular individual was home moaning and groaning, and this soldier, if you would, came to Jesus to try to get help. Verse number 6 tells us, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home. And so really we see, first of all, the places in Capernaum. It's a village in Nahum. And he was on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And so northwestern shore would be up on top. Of course, we see the Sea of Galilee. All the wadis come in. And then the down below comes out of the Sea of Galilee. It's called the land of Gennesaret. Was to the right or to the west of it. You have then the little small area where the Jordan River, it's actually 62 miles long, but it weaves in and out into the Dead Sea. And so this is the location of this beautiful city. And he's there and comes to Jesus. It had its own synagogue there, which our Lord frequently taught. It was a place of customs where people would come and pay their taxes, and it was a beautiful setting. And it says that it was the garrison, and so it was a place for the soldiers to rest and to restock, if you would. That's why he was there, and he had his position there. His position of service was he was a centurion. That's a Roman military officer who had the command over 100 men. And so he was an officer. When I was in the Marines, I was a non-commissioned officer. And so I had to salute the officers. You that were in the military understand that and give reverence to those that were there. When we had an officer walk in the room, we would say, attention, hey! And then everybody would stand up and they would salute him. And he felt embarrassed. He'd say, at ease, men, or whatever. But that was an officer. And this is the kind of guy that came to Jesus. What was his problem? His problem, his concern was his servant was sick. Let me explain the palsy a little bit more. In the instance of this, we have probably a case of progressive paralysis attended by muscular spasms and involving the respiratory movements can be defected and can be hurt, where death is manifestly imminent and inevitable if it is not treated right. And in such a case, there would be symptoms indicative of great distress as well as immediate danger of life. It says he was grievously tormented. That means he was tormented excessively. That was the condition. I want you to move along really quickly. Look at verses 7 through 10 because we see the soldier's attitude is expressed in there. I think, first of all, we see that he was humble. Look at verse number 7. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal. And this is what he says then. He says, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak a word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this. And he does it. You know, it's amazing to me. He's actually expressing his character just as he speaks. And so I would say, first of all, that he had humility. He felt this personal unworthiness. And by the way, he was a Gentile. And so think about this. He's not a Jew. We think, oh, this soldier was strong because he was a Jew. He was humble because he was a Jew. No, he wasn't a Jew at all. He was a Gentile. Pretty interesting. Andrew Murray went on to say this about it, I think, one of the greatest writers. He says, the highest lesson a believer has ever learned is humility. Oh, that every Christian who seeks to advance in the holy life may remember this well. There may be intense consecration and fervent zeal and heavenly experience, and yet, if it is not prevented by very special dealings of the Lord, there shall be an unconscious self-exaltation, saith, with it all. So let us learn that the highest lesson in the holy life is deepest humility. And let us remember that it comes not of itself, but only as it is made a matter of special dealing on the part of our faithful Lord and his faithful servant. Humility isn't thinking meanly of oneself. Humility is not thinking of yourself at all. The truly humble man does not know he is humble. Moses wist not that his skin on his face shone. This was the type of humility that this man had. And you know what the Bible says? That God does visit the humble, but he does resist the proud. So, dear friend, I don't know what side of the fence you're on and some of the issues that we're dealing with in our culture today, but if you don't agree with people, can you just be humble and kind? Can you just be true and honest and exhibit really the character of our Lord Jesus Christ? Because don't you think that most people he talked to was on the other side of the issues? They were. This man approached him, and the humble Savior listened to him, but he listened to a man who had humility. God wanted to make a difference. He was a man of authority. He was a man of love, and I could keep going, but point number three is the soldier's account that is explained in verse number 11 through 13. And look what happens here, if you would. Look at verse number 9. I should read this. Look at verse number 8. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy." Look at verse number 10. "And when he heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed him." So he turns now and he's speaking to his followers. "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith." No, not in Israel. "And then I say unto you." And so Jesus takes this opportunity to get the attention of the people. And he's going to heal this person's this servant, and is going to actually heal him without even going to his place. But then he turns to the people around him, and he says that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And so he gives them an opportunity to be able to speak of a place called heaven. He actually divides and helps them understand that there's going to be some that will come from the east and from the west. And you know what he's talking about? He's talking about the great day of the Lord. That someday it's going to hear a trumpet sound pretty soon. And on that day, we are going to see the eastern sky split wide open. And the King of Kings is going to return. And I hope that you're ready. And how can you be ready? You can actually ask Jesus Christ to save you. And let his righteousness save you and not your own. Humble your hearts. So he brings this out. Wow, it's just incredible. And Jesus used the opportunity and questions concerning the kingdom of heaven. In verse number 11, men were very, from every description, from every race, from every nation, from every tribe, from every tongue, is what he's mentioning here, coming from all of these different places. Revelation chapter 14, verse number 6 says, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that are on the earth, and to every nation, and every kindred, and every tongue, and every people." Revelation 5, 9, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, and for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." I just find it a great joy to be able to visit a missionary on the mission field, and I don't even speak their language, but I can see that they're redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and they are kin to me. They are my brother and my sister. And I have friends all over the world that I get to meet. And now, since we've opened up with social media and different things, it seems like the world's gotten smaller. And I have a chance to travel this week, but I want you to know that this is actually, Jesus is explaining that there is a kingdom and you can be part of that. And the invitation is given to us, I think, in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. It says, "Wisdom hath builded her house, and she hath hewed out her seven pillars, and she hath killed her beast, and she hath mingled her wine, and she hath furnished her table, and she hath set forth her maidens. She cries upon the highest places, Whoever is simple, let him turn in hither. For as for him that wants understanding. She saith to him, come and eat of my bread and drink of my wine, which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 19:14 says, but Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. John 7:37 says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Listen to me, I'm telling you this morning that this opportunity on Veterans Day to recognize the veterans, I'm giving you an opportunity to understand that there is a heaven and there's a hell. And the only way you can get to heaven is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And so Jesus used this opportunity to also explain about a place that's called hell. Look at verse number 12. But the children of the kingdom, talking about this kingdom, shall be out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so he gives a little bit of a description here about those that are rejected, those that didn't never trusted him as Lord and Savior. You know, it's amazing how the spiritual war is getting worse and worse to the place where now it's becoming physical. And we see that going on in the Middle East. And those who believe and trust in Jesus enter into light because he uses contrast. And those that have rejected him will enter into utter darkness. Those who believe and trusted on Jesus will enter into his love. But those who reject him will find themselves in a place where there is only hate. And those who believe and trust in Jesus enter into eternal life. But those who reject Jesus enter into eternal death. Verse number 13 says that Jesus reassures the military officer not only of his own personal belief, but also the officer's faith and courage Jesus. Look at it again, if you would, verse 13. And Jesus saith unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. You know what I think made all the difference? A caring heart with humility. In the vestibule of Revelation, as we enter into the hallway, we have the book of Jude. And Jude gives us this description. It says, and some having compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I've had the opportunity of being called upon recently over to the Access Women's Center. I'll close with this. An opportunity that I have to be able to sit down with a lot of people that are struggling. We have a center that people come into. And some ladies will actually can counsel, and maybe they're pregnant, and so they don't know what to do. They don't know if they should have the baby or if they should have an abortion. And so this center is put together in Madison on East Washington Avenue to help direct people to save that child and to keep the baby. Okay, so I've had a chance to go over. Can you come over, Pastor Holly? I said, I can't make it. Can I come over? Okay, make it today. So I go. I've met recently three different couples. We're trying to help them. I told my wife this morning, all I'm trying to do is keep people out of hell. And then I want to see people nurtured and discipled so they can understand the Word of God. And they can live the abundant life. That's all I want to do. You know, I go over there and I sit down on the couch and grab a cup of coffee. And I got my Bible in my hand and I got a little workbook. And I sit down with a couple and she doesn't have any teeth, hardly in the front. And I don't know what her drug of choice is, but you can tell she's strung out. And then her husband's sitting next to her, and he's hurting big time because he doesn't know what to do with her. And she's pregnant, and, you know, and I have all these emotions. But you know what they need to have is somebody with compassion putting their arm around them and saying that you're going to get through this. But the first thing I want you to know is that the God of heaven loves you, and he cares for you. And have this incredible desire to nurture them and care them and really to bring them out of the snare of Satan through humility and compassion so they can make the right choice. Amen? I sat down with one couple recently. The other couple I had, we tried to get the man into a place where he would get some help. I took him to a place where he'd get help twice. He ran out two times. certain drugs are like demons, and it's that they have a relationship with the demon, and it's like they're married to that demon, and they will take him to hell. A demon will take him to hell, and so that drug is very intense, and he broke out of or left those two places, so he took him, tried out like crazy. But then I sat down with a couple just recently, and they're the sweetest couple. I don't want to say too much, but she was already saved, raised in a Christian home, and he got saved here just a few months ago and got baptized here just a couple weeks ago. Isn't that great? And he's asking me questions all the time. He's saying, well, explain this, explain this, explain that thing. Well, I just happen to be studying that, so I can give that to you. It's just such a blessing. They're the most sweetest couple. They put them on a little bit of a testimony yesterday at the Access Banquet. We got to see them up there a little bit. I'm telling you, folks, we're in a war, and I'm a veteran. But someday I hope to be a veteran of this spiritual war. And someday I'll be able to sit down, read a newspaper in the morning, and have coffee on my porch, and somewhat retired from the ministry. That may come someday. But until then, there is a cause that is bigger than you could not believe. And there is a purpose, and I have a drive in me that will not be quenched. And I have a vision that will not be dimmed until I see Jesus' face and my eyes behold him. And I try the best I can to try to get away a little bit, but there is a passion to do what God wants me to do. And maybe you are struggling today with your own walk with God. Maybe you have an understanding of religion, and you never realize that it's never been about religion, because religion can't save you. Religion never saved anybody. In fact, Jesus never preached religion. Jesus kind of looked religion in the face and said, oh, you little snakes. Didn't he? He said, you're whited sepulchers. He's saying you're like tombstones, and you just spray them with white paint on the outside. Jesus knew what he was talking about, because the only thing that will save a man is Jesus Christ and not a religion. And I don't know if you understand this morning, but I'm going to push you a little bit. I've been known as the challenger. Those days are over. Now I'm a pusher. And let me just tell you that if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you will regret it the rest of your days. Because you know what? When you die, you're either going to go to the kingdom of heaven or you're going to go straight to hell, one of the two places. There's not an in-between. You know, religion tried to make it. They tried to make it and say it was purgatory. That's all made up. You know, and I don't want to confuse you too much, but I have no idea what they were drinking when they wrote that down. Because Jesus never taught that at all. He said, believe on me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, there's a simplicity in all of this. It's not very hard. It's just shifting your affection and your mindset from your religion to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you done that? Tammy slipped out just now. She's over at Bible Baptist Church of Utica. Because we had a family member that wasn't saved. Her name is Emily. She married Boston. Boston went on to do some work with us. We went up to Canada and built a chapel, and he went with us. He got married, and guess what? His wife got saved. They have a little boy, too. And it's amazing to me that now she decides to receive Jesus Christ, and this morning she's getting baptized. Hallelujah. Because she shifted from religion into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And now if she'll listen to people that love the Bible, she'll learn how to be able to walk with God and live the abundant life. You too can do the same. Oh, I've not seen this kind of faith before. Jesus is saying, wow, you want me to heal this guy and not even go to your house? Consider it done. And you know what? He was healed completely. Went home and there was no more palsy, no more difficulties. Wow, who was that? That was Jesus, my Savior, my Lord, and my friend. And he can be yours too. Won't you come to him today? Every head bowed and every eye closed. We're way past time, but maybe this morning you'd say, Pastor Howell, I've been struggling with, I'm not sure if I'm going to go to heaven when I die, and sometimes I've been having these haunting times. and I'm not sure if I'm even saved. I would like to know for sure. Would you please pray for me? I won't point you out. I won't make you come up here, but I'll pray for you. And maybe this morning you would say, please pray for me, Pastor. I have not settled this yet. Is there anyone like that? Just raise your hand and put it back down. Say, please pray for me. Thank you. Thank you so much. Anybody else would say, yeah, pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me. Anyone else? Then, Christian, the message was for you. How is your faith? Do you have that kind of faith to know that Jesus can heal? He can. I've seen him do it in this church over and over again when his people prayed. But maybe this morning you just need to come down and have a time here at the altar. You can come. Maybe it's for baptism. Maybe it's to move forward with church membership. Whatever it is, you can come. Would you please stand with me? Let's have an invitation. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would guide. Lord, I ask that you would touch the heart of those that are here. Be with this person who raised his hand. Father, I pray that you would touch his heart also. Help him to understand completely. Father, I pray you work in our church this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano begins to play, step out, say, here I am, Lord. I'm coming. Been away from God, now I'm coming home. I need to step forward and join, and you come. One more stanza. If you need to come, there's plenty of time. Say, yes, Lord, yes. Have your will and have your way. Much. Look up here just for a moment. Eve, what a blessing. Eve, you are, I came here 26 years ago. You realize that? 26 years ago. That's a long time. And you were just a little girl then. What, were you 2 years old then? You wish, right? Anyway, what a blessing to have you here this morning. And my mom is here and some others. What a blessing. You know, God wants us to just obey him and live for him. I told someone recently what Dr. O used to always say at North, and he said, we're not commanded to grow, we're commanded to obey. That kind of didn't set well with me at first, because I'm like, go get him, man. Get the bus route, bring him in, you know. God wants us to obey, desires for us to do so. What a blessing. Brother Daryl, could you make your way up here? I appreciate Daryl Trow and his willingness to be our deacon. He's been our secretary now, or not secretary, but our chairman. Vice President of the Deacon Board for a long, long time, and I appreciate your willingness, Daryl. You've been an encouragement to me. Why don't you close our service with a word of prayer? 5 o'clock tonight, we'll meet with the church leadership on a few things, and then at 6 o'clock, we're going to actually have the Lord's Supper. So I hope you come back tonight, and we'll have some fellowship, and then maybe some Culver's afterwards.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and goodness, and for your saving power and healing power, Lord, and I just pray that you would comfort Brother Gamer at this time, bless him and his family, Lord, and that you would just, your will would be done, that you'd strengthen and bless Sister Flo also, Lord, and strengthen her, Lord, they might heal her, and just pray that you'd bless us as we go out, that we would be meditating on your goodness and on your word this afternoon. Bring us back tonight, and for this in Jesus' name, amen.
Boundless grace and mercy overflowing, peace that floods my soul. Of the faith. This is Timeless Praise, powered by Rejoice Radio.
All I have. Sings all mine with death.